John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drop?
Now the N is for not, oh no, my phone's just sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Monday, 21st of May, 2012. A report on Palestinian poverty in East Jerusalem. A UN OCHA weekly report on happenings in the West Bank and Gaza in the last week, settler attacks on Palestinians, and news of the expansion of the Ariel settlement. These stories and more. Stay tuned. Jerusalem Day 2012, yesterday, was the 45th anniversary of the annexation of East Jerusalem. It was marked by ceremonial marches by Israelis in various parts of Jerusalem, including the Old City. On the same day, the Organization for Civil Rights published a new and disturbing report on the city's Palestinians, 38% of the total population of the city, which showed the highest levels of deprivation since the occupation in 1967, with 84% of Palestinian children and 86% of the total population living below the poverty line. Four reasons were given: unemployment, the separation barrier, the collapse of the education system, and neglect by the Israeli authorities. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu stated Sunday that he will never accept any peace agreement that divides Jerusalem, quote, and will never cede any part of Jerusalem, especially the area of the Temple Mount, where the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock are located in occupied East Jerusalem. He added that Israel without Jerusalem is like a body without heart. Quote, quote, should the city fall into the hands of others, I doubt we will be able to avoid a religious war. Close quote. Peace among faiths can only be maintained under Israeli sovereignty. His statements ignore the fact that millions of Palestinians have no access to religious, Muslim and Christian holy sites in the occupied city. The UN Office for Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs report for last week stated that 370 Palestinians had been shot during the Nakba demonstrations last week. A total of 1,337 Palestinians have been injured by Israeli soldiers this year. That is 69 every week, over double last year's rate. Similarly, 285 structures have been demolished this year, displacing 477 Palestinians, a 25% increase over the same period last year. Along the same lines, Palestinian medical sources reported that two Palestinians were shot and injured by settlers on Saturday evening. The settlers had invaded Asiriya al-Qibliya village south of the northern West Bank city of Nablus. The shootings were captured by B'Tselem members on video. Returning to the question of hunger strikers, detainee Mahmoud Kamal Asalhassak, currently held at the Ramla prison hospital, has been on hunger strike for 63 days and is determined to continue his hunger strike until his release to his family in the Shabura refugee camp in Rafah City, Gaza, or he dies. He was taken prisoner in July 2009 at the Eretz terminal to Gaza while going to take part in a soccer tournament. Israel has held him under administrative detention without charges for 6 months and then renewed this six consecutive times, saying that he poses a threat to the Israeli public. The Palestinian News Network on Thursday reported that Israel has unveiled a project to expand the settlement of Ariel in the northern West Bank in two phases at the expense of large areas of Palestinian land in the governorates of Qalqilia and Tulkarim. Building is already underway in Salfit governorate. And finally, the Palestinian Ministry of Health in Gaza issued a statement revealing that 404 patients in Gaza who suffer from kidney failure are facing serious deterioration in their health because of the lack of equipment needed for dialysis, and they appealed for replacement equipment. And that's all today from IMEMC News. This was the Monday 21st of May daily roundup of news from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Hussam Qasis and William Temple.
Afghanistan, yesterday, a suicide bomb attack on a NATO convoy in Tirankot, Uzun province, killed two NATO soldiers of unreported nationality and two children. Three NATO soldiers of unspecified nationality and a number of bystanders were wounded. The attack was reported aimed at a police checkpoint, but a NATO convoy appeared and either was inside the blast radius or the bomber decided to shift targets. Afghanistan, Saturday, a suicide bombing at a checkpoint near the Pakistani border killed 13 people, including two Afghan police, one Afghan border patrol officer, and 10 civilians. Afghanistan, Friday, Taliban rockets hit a NATO base in Kunar province, killing two NATO soldiers of unreported nationality. Six other NATO soldiers were wounded, no word on how badly. The Taliban has formally announced the start of their spring offensive. Chicago, United States, yesterday. NATO countries other than the U.S. said in a NATO summit that they wanted out of the war by the end of 2013, a year earlier than Obama wants. Top item on the agenda was the wave of attacks on U.S. and NATO troops by Afghan soldiers and police. These attacks call into doubt Obama's Vietnamization strategy to hand the war off to puppet forces in Afghanistan. While NATO delegates argued inside, tens of thousands of protesters battled police outside, and 50 Iraq and Afghanistan veterans threw back their medals, including Global War on Terror campaign ribbons. Mr. Barack Obama, this war is finished. The Quran burning incidents a few months ago, combined with desecration of the dead and the March 11th massacre, saw to that. Now is the time to pull the plug, bring all the troops home today. This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to wsqtradio@hushmail.com. Repeat, wsqtradio@hushmail.com.
On
The 18th and 19th of May, the G8, the eight richest nations on Earth, met at Camp David. Originally, they were going to meet in Chicago alongside the NATO summit, but after adbusters called for 50,000 protesters to lay siege to Chicago, the G8 ran like rabbits, moving the meeting to Camp David to avoid protesters. It didn't quite work. Both Frederick, Maryland and Thurmont, Maryland had protests against the G8. Frederick is the second largest city in Maryland, maybe half an hour at most from Camp David, and Thurmont is just outside the perimeter. Frederick also hosts Occupy Frederick. Here's what things sounded like when Occupy Frederick and the Anarchist Alliance DC Network marched against the G8 on May 18th in Frederick.
No bombs! No tanks! Burn the fucking banks! No bombs! No tanks! Burn the fucking banks! No bombs! No tanks! Burn the fucking banks!
The other side's cavalry.
Anticapitalista! Anticapitalista!
The next day, some of the participants in that march boarded buses for Chicago, chasing the CEOs of the eight richest nations on Earth to Chicago, where the modern heirs of Al Capone were about to meet for the NATO summit in the face of huge protests. One anti-war march in Chicago was estimated at 75,000 people by one source. Another report said it was 10 blocks long. Meanwhile, inside the G8 summit, the G8 agreed in the face of the defeat of pro-bailout and pro-austerity political parties in both Greece and France to take the focus off of austerity and budget control and focus on economic growth instead. Austerity may have just been defeated in Europe. Late night on Saturday, the 19th of May, after an anti-NATO protest in Chicago, the Chicago police drew their guns and forcibly pulled over a car containing video journalists, including two live streamers known on Twitter as @TimCast and @LukeWeAreChange. The cameras were still rolling as cops swarmed in, brandishing guns and shouting obscenities.
We're being raided right now. For those that are watching, we are being raided by the CPD as we speak.
Once the pigs approached the car, they were careful to make sure their voices could not be understood before shutting off the feed outright.
We saw cops coming up behind us. A gray, unmarked police car, Crown Victoria.
They shut my feed off.
All right.
Now I just turned it back on. We're live back again. We just got pulled out of the car, cuffed, ID's taken.
That's why passengers should never carry ID.
12 officers pulled us over, took our...
We got a stream up right before the raid. If we talk to an officer, we talk to...
For those that are watching right now, for all that is holy, please tweet out, we just got raided. Multiple squad cars surrounded our vehicle right here. We were all pulled out, cuffed, and put up against the hood. A supervisor came by and fanned over to one of the other officers, and he pointed at us, pulled his finger. The police came over and uncuffed us and said, "We're sorry, your car looks like something that another car we were looking for." Earlier today, the apartment that we're staying at was raided. The person who lives there has given multiple stories, and we have no idea what's true and what's not.
Those lying cops. Yes. Assaulting the press at a big protest in Chicago, just like what happened in 1968 at the Democratic National Convention, something later described as a police riot in official reports. Needless to say, the YouTube video from which this sound was extracted was unavailable in a web browser as late as Sunday afternoon. Fortunately, YouTube's unavailable does not block specialized downloading tools. I've seen this blocking only twice, at the Chicago NATO protest and the Charlotte, North Carolina protest against the Bank of America board meeting. If the police keep assaulting the press, YouTube just might stop blocking all that video. When credentialed journalists were beaten at the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago, they showed off their wounds on national TV. There was a second incident Saturday in which credentialed journalist Tracy Pollock from The Update was attacked by police as they used their bikes as weapons against a street march against NATO, relying on the First Amendment as the only permit they needed to assemble for redress of grievances. She was moving towards the protest from the police side of the line, was suddenly attacked, and had to be rescued by protesters. Just before she was attacked, one of the cops drew what looked like a long knife or dagger. That was a cop grabbing her camera lens and pushing her over the bikes. She was pulled to safety by protesters, receiving bruises but not serious injuries. She never crossed a police line under her own power. Matters could have been even worse, but an Illinois state law that cops had planned to interpret as making recording police a felony if audio could be heard was thrown out by the courts just days before the NATO summit began. In 1968, police violence against the press at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago was so bad that some said two new TV shows came out of that event, Beat the Press and Mace the Nation. On the 20th of May, a massive crowd stretching for 10 blocks marched through the streets of Chicago against the NATO summit. At the head of the march was members of Iraq Veterans Against the War. At the culmination of the protest, about 50 Iraq Veterans Against the War members returned medals they had been awarded serving NATO in Iraq and or Afghanistan.
I'm here to return my Global War on Terrorism medal.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. You look very beautiful today. This is a great turnout. My name is Jerry. I'm from New York City. I served in the Army from 2005 to 2009. I fought in Iraq in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom. I today am giving back my Global War on Terrorism Service Medal because I realized that after a while that it was just nothing but an idea made by a bunch of politicians, money-hungry politicians in Washington who will do nothing and have a complete disregard for human life and will do anything in their power to just make more money in the end. Now if it's just an idea, then therefore it's just an idea that sparked two wars that I had to fight in. And I don't want any part of it anymore. And I choose human life over war, militarism, and imperialism.
My name is Scott Kimball. I'm an Iraq War vet. And I'm turning in these medals today for the people of Afghanistan, Iraq, Palestine, and all victims of occupation across the world. And also, for all the service members and veterans who are against these wars, you are not alone!
My name is Christopher May. I left the Army as a conscientious objector. Told that these medals represented, democracy and justice and hope and change for the world. These medals represent a failure on behalf of the leaders of NATO to accurately represent the will of their own people. It represents a failure on the leaders of NATO to do what's right by the disenfranchised people of this world. Instead of helping them, they take advantage of them, and they're making things worse. I will not be a part of that anymore. These medals don't mean anything to me, and they can have them back.
Even the cops stood by as Taps was then played. Unfortunately, it was not long afterwards that the Chicago cops decided to threaten people with tear gas and a whale war-style LRAD sound cannon in a futile attempt to disperse the massive crowd. The Rock Veterans Against the War also staged a retirement ceremony for the American flag. Given the behavior of the police, perhaps such a ceremony should also be held for the Constitution. After the massive march against NATO on the 20th of May in Chicago culminated in a throwing back of war medals by veterans, riot police in helmets, shields, and billy clubs attacked marchers in the street. Some say they were trying to disperse the march, yet other cops acted like they wanted to trap marchers. During the entire day, 45 people were arrested, and the Chicago police whined to the newspapers, alleging that someone responded to being clubbed and beaten by knifing one of them in the leg. Given that a cop pulled a knife during an attack on a journalist the previous day, how do we know that cop didn't fall on his own knife and cut his leg? Here's what the fighting sounded like. All that police violence didn't work. Marchers escaped the police attacks and thousands of people continued to march far into the night, at one point gathering outside a place where NATO delegates were eating. Even later that night, Chicago police brass may have lost control of their men on the street. There were reports of people leaving the bars being assaulted by Chicago police officers who seemed to be attacking anyone they thought might be a protester. A number of activists from Occupy DC were arrested on May 20th in a Chicago protest and subsequent police violence, but all were out by Monday morning. By 10 a.m. Monday, protests against NATO had resumed, with marches on the streets and even a highway. NATO, you can't win in Afghanistan, and you didn't win in Chicago on the 20th of May either. The 18th of May, hundreds of D.C. residents showed up at Pepco's stockholders meeting, furious with Pepco's plans for a $42 million rate hike that will largely be absorbed by increases in the salaries of CEO Joe Rigsby and other senior Pepco executives. Looks like it's pitchforks and torches for Pepco's proposal to raise rates by $42 million to pay for a pay raise for CEO Joe Rigsby and the rest of Pepco's top executives. Inside the stockholders meeting were dozens of D.C. residents who'd purchased Pepco's stock so they could speak out at the stockholders meeting about rate hikes, lousy service, and Pepco's unbelievable greed. A poker face wasn't enough, and neither was the law. Although they were entitled by law to be part of the stockholders meeting, Pepco packed the seats in the meeting room with Pepco employees, then shunted everybody off to an overflow room, and then decided that wasn't enough and had security guards beat, push, shove, and choke people before removing everybody from the building. The remaining stockholders then proceeded to approve a big fat pay raise for Pepco CEO Joe Rigsby.
Say that so.
I want to tell everybody exactly what happened. We went in at shareholders today. We walked in, there were two rows. One to the left, and there was a row to the right. We walked in and tried to get into the room and left. All the shareholders were in there, were holding the meeting. Employees of Pepco start pushing us. They start shoving us. They start choking us. They start pushing us in the tables.
Okay.
They manhandled us and made us try to go into the next room. We demanded to go inside of the meeting.
That's
so we
right.
Can let our voices be heard as shareholders of this company. And they shoved us into the glass. And they shoved us on the ground and pushed us out of there. This is an injustice. How dare Pepco treat its customers and shareholders like this? Share, and we have paperwork that shows that we are sharing.
push us, they push the hook, they push the woman outside. We was, I never seen this. I thought people have more professionalism, but they are worse than I don't know who.
We got the worst company.
Yes, we are.
My bill for the last month was $300. Oh, you know what they did to me when I went in there? I was like, I want to be in that meeting. I'm a shareholder of this company. And you know what they said? They said, you can't get in. You
got out.
So I demanded to get in. And what they did to me, they grabbed me. They pushed me aside. Then they got the cops to put their hands on me and pushed me out the door. You know what I did? I grabbed that door. Yeah. I was like, I am not leaving. I pulled that door off. Make sure other shareholders don't have to go through what I went through.
Shareholders in the early 90s, my grandmother gave me about 1,500 shares to invest in my education, and they wouldn't let me in. I had all the proper documentation. They had to call and verify my documentation, and by the time I got upstairs, they would only let me into the overflow room, and they said it was after 10 a.m. and the meeting had already started.
Oh, God!
I had to investigate my paperwork, and I'm just really upset, and my grandmother actually gave me this stock, and I think that she'd be really, really disappointed and that she invested in such a terrible company. Like, she would probably, like roll over in her grave.
Pepco needs to pay their fair share of taxes like I
did.
I got to pay my taxes.
They
need to pay their fair share. They need to cut their compensation package in half. And they need to create jobs for the district residents.
Did get into the Pepco shareholders meeting today. Maybe my smile was nicer than Alana's, I don't know. I've never seen such evasive answers to questions that we posed. Dave and I both got to ask questions, and I asked about reliability. And I did mention a quote that Mr. Rigby gave to our county council. And apparently he was misquoted in the paper. But that doesn't address the reliability issues. My power still goes out every time the wind blows, and I lose a refrigerator full of food, and I can't work when there's no power, so I lose income. And in the meantime, the Pepco executives all just voted themselves a big fat salary increase because they can't keep the lights on. I mean, you know, is it too much to ask to keep the lights on?
No.
So I don't think that the Pepco executives should have gotten a salary increase today.
No
way.
Pepco, if you're really dumb enough to think that you can keep right on raising people's rates so you can raise CEO and executive pay while the lights go out every time the wind blows and you buy your electricity from users of mountaintop removal coal, you've got another thing coming. The more you push people, the more people are going to push back. It's going to be pitchforks and torches over and over again. And who knows? Maybe people might decide to go on a rate strike where half the city stops paying their bills all at the same time. Pepco? All I can say is zero for Pepco until you clean up your act. And one more thing. That was a big boo-boo kicking out somebody who had 1,500 shares of stock inherited from her grandmother. You just might be hearing about that one from the Securities and Exchange Commission.